traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So there was a girl
that was well put.
I had hung out with, and her name is.
There's no shot. There's no shot. There's no shot. No, 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 no.
Sound's rolling.
Georgie, you rolling?
I'm rolling.
Three, sound.
Two.
Oh!
That was beautiful.
Clean. Okay, guys. We're going to roll right in.
Who got it, guys?
I'm trying so hard.
Wow, that was, we're off to a great start.
I know. We have to do this podcast here because when we get back to LA, we're running right into more podcasts. And we're in Stade, Switzerland. Should we start over?
No, this is great so far.
That is the best way to start out the year.
I also just want to say this. We joked about being those three kids from the meme back in the studio in Vegas. This is the closest we will ever be to that meme. We are three kids sitting on couches around a table right now.
Yeah, it no is shit, Mike.
Exact.
Yeah, way to just say what's happening. He's like, look at us. There's three of us. Where there's a table and we're here. Anyway,
Logan, stop doing drugs, guys.
It's true.
You're going to see a lot of anger out of him this episode.
I'm fucking angry.
He's almost beat up like at least 11 people.
Like
I counted. I genuinely counted.
Well,
after 5, I was like, all right, this guy's, he's wanting all the smoke.
It's weed. Weed is a very powerful drug. I don't care who the fuck says it's not a drug. It's a fucking drug. Okay? That's how we're starting the episode. Fine. Yeah. I quit smoking weed on December 24th. And Christmas Eve, for some reason... Thank you. Thank you. For those of you who watch Impulsive regularly, and first off, if you don't. But if you want to, make sure to subscribe. You guys know I've been having this little back and forth with marijuana. I grew up not smoking. I'm like the anti-weed guy pretty much my whole life. And then the past 6 months, fully dedicated myself to becoming a pothead. And with that came a lot of great things. Like, you know, weed can allow for creativity. It calms me down. It'll open my mind up to entertain conversations with people that maybe normally I wouldn't. Like,
that's like the sweetest way of saying I can put up with people. There's some people I can discuss things with when I'm actually intoxicated.
I actually care.
And George, I can't deal with them sober. I don't know what it is.
No. Just this lifestyle we were living that people will see soon. Like, you know, we've been traveling everywhere, not sleeping, just going hard. Weed, like, got me through it. Like, it kept me alive. It kept me interested. It was able to stimulate me enough to continue this lifestyle of travel, adventure, and party and creation. But I knew there was going to be a day where I had to call it quits, because when I realized that I was high more than I wasn't high, it's a little problematic. I was waking up groggy. I'm going to sleep high. Like, it was a disaster. And December 24th, I felt it in my heart. I was like, today's the day. I'm done. You know how I do shit? Cold turkey.
Yeah.
Cold turkey quit.
Did you wake up knowing you were going to quit? Or was it just like, you woke up, you're like, oh, I think today, next to Jesus' birthday, I'm going
to go. Nah, I don't know. I felt it, and it sucked because my mom was like, why did you have to do this week? Our entire family
ripping a bong. She's like, what, now?
Nah, her whole family came to Puerto Rico, and here I am, going through weed withdrawals while my whole family celebrating Christmas. And for me, my withdrawals are very like aggressive, man. I don't know what it is, but I get, what do you have, Pat?
Imagine me.
I have a thing and I want to tell you something. But I was and am a little bit still extremely irritable. I could not sleep. And I developed a gag reflex, no appetite. It's just like it's a fucking.
How did you know that? What did you figure out?
How do you think you
wait till you find out how he found out?
Sorry, Logan.
What's wrong with sucking a little dick, boys?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Not when you have no gag reflex. There's nothing wrong with it.
But when I have a gag reflex, there's it becomes wrong with problematic. And I mean, to be honest with you, maybe I sound like a pussy. I was going through it. I was really going through it. And I told George.
Like crack, by the way. I just want everybody to know. Like, his withdrawals was like meth. Like, he was sweating. Is that guy looking at me? I'm like, dude, he's blind. He's got right there. He's looking at me. You can't see his eyes. He has glasses. He looks like Mike.
And it sucks because, again, we're in Stadt. Everyone here is so nice and polite. And I'm just causing problems. I want all the smoke. And I don't know why. Like, I have a fucking broken hand. What am I going to do? And anyways, I told George, I have to fucking commend you, bro. I'm dead ass serious. I've been waiting to tell you this. The fact that you made it out of a heroin addiction and like fully, like I'm even getting a little emotional. Like I have so much fucking respect for you and anyone who is beaten an addiction because this shit fucking sucks. And this is just weed. This ain't shit. I swear to God, if I had an addiction as serious as his, narcotics as serious as heroin, I would not make it out. I would not make it
the
out.
Difference, all of my money would be on you not making it out.
I would not.
No, you will.
Unless you read Mike's book. You will. Then you would have some.
Maybe. Honestly.
The difference between the two is weed is a mental and psychological battle. And when you get into the opiates and heroin and stuff like that, it's a much more physical battle. And you even felt some of the physical symptoms of it, like the sweating, the irritability, that kind of stuff, like that overall just like nasty feeling. But it's just exponentially worse when you bring opiates into play. You know, you're constantly throwing up. You know, you have diarrhea. You feel like you basically feel like you have COVID or the flu for 2 weeks, and it's 10 times worse. So, you know, it's wild. All drugs have come downs and letdowns, you know? So it's, you know, you have to respect the withdrawals no matter what drug it is, but it's definitely, you've been going through it, man.
Yeah. And to make matters worse, about a week of this, just feeling like shit, feeling like an asshole and just like getting a little vulnerable for a sec. Like, as you guys know, I've expressed like, bro, I've hated myself this past week. I've hated this version of myself. It's the worst. Like, man, I just like, I feel like I'm not great to be around. And it just like, I feel bad, you know, because we're on this nice trip. We spent an absurd amount of money to come to Stade, Switzerland. I don't know if you know anything about Stade, but this is, what is it? The like highest like perk. There was $1 trillion worth of wealth at the party we were at last night. Everyone here is a billionaire. There were more billionaires at this party than there were not billionaires. And so we're at this, what was I saying?
You tried to fight the Kochek guy.
Oh no! Wait, that's not what I was saying. He's fucking racist against Kevin.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. I can smell racism.
This like withdrawal process and this like coming off of weed has like created these like micro scenarios in Logan's mind where he's just like, you said it earlier. That guy's fucking looking at me.
Yo,
he's disrespecting Kevin because he's Mexican. I'm like, no, he's not, man. Kevin forgot his like little tag to pick up his jacket. And
well,
that was the second time.
So that was like the second straw.
Yeah.
The first straw.
Well, what was it? Oh, the first time we told Kevin to put his mask on.
In a room full of unmasked people. I was wondering why he chose Kevin.
It's a good. That one's a little bit more believable than the second time. So he had it out with him the first time. He said, no to the guy. Walked by. The next day, went and apologized to him.
Oh, and by the way, you're kind of skimming through this.
Well, because I don't know.
The apology was like a Disney movie, bro. He goes, hey, man, I just want to come to you because I've been thinking about it. How I behave is it's totally unacceptable. And I just wanted to, as a man, look you in the eyes. The guy's like, you know what? I respect that. A lot of men don't do that. We had a moment. They're going to become brothers.
We reconciled. Fully. It was amazing.
15 minutes later, that man's a racist. So what the fuck?
Because he's doing it again.
Literally, I'm behind Logan. I go, I'm so sorry. The guy needs to get high. I don't even know what to tell you.
I won't do it. I'm not going
you
back.
You grabbed the jacket so hard from his. So as I was saying, Kevin forgot his tag to pick up the jacket. And I had tried to apply the catching flies with honey instead of salt routine that I always do. And I was just about there. And I'm like, okay, so man, I appreciate you just understanding that we lost the ticket and giving us the jacket back. And all of a sudden I see a massive arm reach out, give me the jacket. It just yokes it from the fucking dude. And the dude's face was like, I have never. He was so offended. And Logan's just like, racist. And we're in this beautiful hotel. The beautiful and Stodd. And Logan's fucking just flipping out. And so I go to Logan, I pull him to the side. I'm like, bro, chill out. The amount of times I've had to actually like say to you on this trip, yo, you need to chill out.
Okay,
like brother to brother, yo, you need to chill the fuck out. You're not fighting this German biker gang. You're not fighting the flight attendant.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not fighting the coat check guy. And God forbid, number one, you're not fighting me because you tried to fight me probably one or two times so far.
That was the funniest thing. And I talked to Belle about that because I was like, yo, like there's a rule of thumb, bro. Like when you involve physical, like if you want to spar somebody that's different, but to threaten one of your boys that you're going to strike
I did not
them,
threaten Mike. I promised him that I would assault him.
He did. Yeah, you, yes. Okay, you said, I remember it word for word. You go, what is the issue? And then you're like, your tone. And then he goes, what about my tone? He goes, lessen it. And Mike goes, and if I choose not
no,
to,
I did not
he goes,
that.
He goes, nope, you know nope, no. He, and you're true. With me? He goes, then I'm going to have to assault my friend. And I literally just look back and I'm smiling, bro. Because I want this shit to happen. Here's why. I'm a part of it. That's the reason why I want it. I'm sitting here with my legs crossed. I'm sipping coffee. I'm talking to people that I probably will never have their network. And I'm just like, wow, this is a great day. This is the best part out of it all. We're classy people in America. Okay? In America, we're like, yeah, we look good.
Hey, what are you talking about?
That's not true.
Listen, America, we walk around and I feel confident in who we are. Here, let me just describe you how they saw us. We are 15 people hopping out of one car at the nicest hotel you will ever look at in your life. And this is how I knew what they thought of us. Because not only do we have
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We have to climb out of the car. We have to climb out of the trunk. They knew that so well. When the valet saw us, they pulled up the car and they looked at me as their hand is touching the trunk of a car.
They opened our trunk and they go, for us.
Yes.
So Kevin and David get in there.
We need more because our car's too small for all the people we have. We need a little bit more background here. We haven't described Stodd perfectly. Stodd is a city that exists sandwiched in between the Swiss Alps, right? About 4 hours, 3-4 hours north of Zurich. East of Zurich in Switzerland. We are relatively well-traveled people. Saint-Tropez, Dubai, we've done our fair share of travel. Maybe not the most, but we've been to a few places. When I tell you I have never in my life seen a city with this level of wealth and the ability to command prices that make no fucking sense. The cheapest cheeseburger I've seen outside of Wally's, their one fast food place, is like $86. You cannot get a cheeseburger for less than $80.
The club sandwich is $75. A coffee is $25.
It tastes really good.
What?
It tastes good.
It
tastes good.
It's not so good that you're like, wow, that was worth $40 for a hot chocolate. No, it wasn't.
We're in a place where their cheese is made. It takes days to make. And you're reviewing Arby's. Okay, so like, it's just like the price difference has to be different.
I disagree.
But how much different?
Because I heavily disagree.
Again, we've been around, George. I've seen a lot of shit. This place is the most not real life place I've seen in my life. And the kids, one of the kids came up to me today. He's like, how's your start? I was like, bro, to be honest with you, like, I don't know. Like, beautiful. Like, aesthetically, it's great. But man, things are a little backwards here. And so I told the kid, I was like, just so you know, because he is growing up here. I go, kid, this isn't real life. Like, I don't know if it's a if it's like a European thing.
It's not. It's how they gatekeep the culture here. It's how they gatekeep the culture and keep the demographic, us, the people that they don't want here, out. Dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, these people are actually all billionaires. We wanted to go to the dinner last night, which is the best kind of New Year's Eve dinner here. And we found out, you know, not too far before dinner was going to start, maybe the night before, that it was going to be 1,500 Swiss francs per person.
Yeah.
By the way, it was a buffet. Walked and got your own food, and it was delicious food. It was fantastic. So one thing you guys may not have known. I don't know if I told you guys this yet. Wanted to buy some drinks for some ladies, whatever, hang out at the bar for a while. It was an open bar.
It was not an open bar.
It was not open bar.
Oh my God.
I ordered four shots of Casamigos Blanco, 220 Swiss francs. I mean, you weren't getting out of there last night for under 3,000.
Max said he never seen a place where people are scooping caviar like guacamole. Caviar, $8,000 trays of caviar. Ching, ding, and kids.
Little kids. How do you even know what caviar is? They're like, isn't the caviar swell? I'm like, what the fuck?
What do you get a Happy Meal? I'm happy with my meal.
They can't. No McDonald's.
What is McDonald's? Dude, I asked them, where's the nearest McDonald's? Like, as a joke, because I thought I was funny. And he goes, ooh, no, we don't track those people here. I go, fast food people? He goes, yeah, no. I go, oh, Mike, let's get the fuck out of here. I was like, we got to get out of here.
We went to the dinner. Logan was dying. We'll get into it. So actually, I left the dinner. It was me and Stad guy, the mayor and representative of Stad. He's in front of us right now. Mac, our good friend Mac. Both Constance and Colton, Stad guy in general. We left this dinner and we went to, I don't even know how to discuss this. We went to someone's home for an after party. That was one of the more incredible houses I've ever seen in my life. David Guetta DJ'd it. It's just the level of extravagance and wealth here is like I said, is untouchable. Yeah. And not replicable anywhere I've ever seen. Wild.
They have a lot of class. That's one thing.
I will say, let me bookend it with this. I've never ever met a more polite group of people in my life, which is where this gets tricky, because they know how to conduct themselves. Even the kids. Have the kids approach you for pictures here? Oh. For the first time in my life, I'm approached with kids asking me for pictures like this. Excuse me, I don't mean to bother you. But would you mind if I get a picture with you? Like, everyone here is so polite and cordial. Mm. And yet, it's so clear that it's just not like for us. You know?
So we've been talking about the currencies of different cities. We always talk about it. New York has its status currency. Miami is just money. And we love Los Angeles because they deal in the currency of clout. Let me tell you what currency is not accepted in Stad. Clout. They do not accept it anywhere. You are not advanced to the front of the line. Now, we do have good relationships here, so we were advanced to the front of the line, but not because of who we were. And it's interesting because, you come to this city and the people are, they're very entertained. They're very entertained by us. And there are actually times where we've talked about it. Look, we're like, we're the court jesters.
We are the joke here.
We're the jokers.
We are strictly entertainment.
Put a red clown nose on and make us laugh, please.
We would walk into parties and like, I personally got the, maybe this is one of those like, microcosms that I'm like making up, but personally I got the vibe like, oh, they're the YouTube kids.
Right.
Like, what? All right, listen, I don't have daddy's money, bro. I was fucking born in Ohio.
But they're not mean about, like, you know,
not everyone, but like we are here, I feel like, to entertain. Our currency here is just like in real life. We're entertaining. We're dope. You're dope. Thanks.
But I started leading and prioritizing with other storylines. Like, and I think you
from far away, they're like, yes, they do dope.
Not anymore.
Here's what I thought. Have you guys ever been, like, we're in America, and everybody in where I was raised was like, dude, there's places back there. They can't even get food, and you should respect your shoes. And so we look at them like, oh, you know, like, we should be so grateful that we're not in that circumstance. I swear to you, bro. I felt, even though I love my life, I felt like they looked at me, they're like, they wanted to donate. Like, I was like, there's no way that I'm this far off. They're, like, when they were talking about prices and stuff, I was like, hurt. I was like, my chest is, I was like, oh. That's why when Logan, and I'll publicly talk about this, when the bill came around, when they were like, yo, it's going to be $1,500 to like walk in the party. And for them, they're like $1. Yeah, okay. Like,
well, no, they don't even care. They're like, $1,500?
Right. I've never seen that. I was like, yo, I don't like to pretend what I'm not. I am not in the position right now for me to drop $3,000 for me to walk. Now, can I afford it? Yes. Can I afford it? No. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I could do it, but I will be completely honest. If I did it, it would look like this. Yeah, of course. And then when everybody looks away, a shed of tear would come down my face because I work very hard for my money. Sure. And I do not want to pretend that I should be sitting at a table where I did not earn my seat. And so I respectfully pulled out. And then Logan, who's the richest out of this group, was like, no, I'll take care of it. And I made a firm stand. I will not take somebody else's money to be in a room that I don't feel like it should be in yet.
I don't know if you...
Which I also respect.
Yeah,
absolutely. I appreciate it.
I totally understand.
I don't know if you started, like, adjusting at all, but, like, because of how they felt about, like, the job of, like, YouTuber podcast, about three nights into the trip, when people asked, like, I'm an author.
Yeah.
I write books. This is my friend. He's a boxer. He's a professional boxer. He fought Floyd Mayweather. Stand-up comedian. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just start to kind of adjust just a little bit. So.
Yeah, but mine sucks. You know why? Because they're not like, hey, write me a book. Or like, box me. They tell me, hey, tell a joke, buddy. I go, what? I swear to God, I was like, ma'am, if I was a doctor, would you want me to perform like a rhinoplasty on you right now?
They would.
And she was like, she just looked at me like it was part of my joke. She's like, that's not funny. I was like, bitch, it's not supposed to be funny. Like, I'm not a joker. You, and then I remember they're billionaires. And I was like, okay.
I want you to know something. You talked shit to the CEO of
I did, straight to his face. Because he wasn't
jokingly.
So here's the thing I love and hate about myself. I love the fact that I do not give a fuck who you are and what room you're in. The thing I hate about myself. I do not give a fuck about who you are, what room I'm in. It has bit me in the ass, but luckily this trip it hasn't. So there was a guy at the end of the table who's very quiet. He was just kind of like sitting there looking like this. Very, very good looking man. Nothing wrong with him. But as a joke to open up and make him feel more comfortable, I said, you, hey, stop fucking talking so much, buddy. Because, like, he wasn't saying anything. And then his friends, like, and this is what I love. When you hang out with very powerful people, they don't make any emotion until they all assume. They look at each other, they're like, are we going to laugh at this? Are we going to laugh at this? Or should we kill him and drink his blood? And then I was like, no, I'm not a baby. We can't do that here. And they're like, okay, that won't make us younger. So what we'll do is we'll just laugh at you. And he goes, ha, 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 I created...
No, we found out after the fact.
Yeah, no, that was the true story. He goes, you know that guy you just almost assaulted? And I was like, yeah. He goes, he owns Coinbase.
Yeah, 20 billion. 20 billion.
Yeah, 20 billion. Yeah, nice. He said, no, he said 20. And I go, 20 million? He goes, 20 billion. And I go, oh. And I go, because I was like, oh, I'm being serious. If he wanted to kill me, think about $20 billion. I'm a bug to his car. He's like, that comedian guy, I don't like him anymore. His bloodline, get them off.
Why did you give him that accent?
Because I feel like if you're ever going to kill somebody, you sound like that. You know what I mean? Like, that guy, I don't like him. Get to him.
But great city. And supposedly they normally have, they have snow here. And...
Oh, what the heck? No, we've had bad luck this whole trip.
I was just going to bring up why I said it too.
I have a bunch of notes.
You're gonna leave me in. Yeah.
All right. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Sorry.
No, we've had a bunch of bad luck. When we got here, it was raining, and we came here because, you know, it was Stad, and it's a snow and ski place, allegedly. But when we got here, it was foggy and rainy, and finally it cleared up, and we were able to go skiing and snowboarding. Well, it was all just ice, basically just cement, and it makes it very hard to carve, and sometimes people don't have etiquette on the mountain. One small Swiss lady cut my friend Mike off, probably going, what, 20?
I speak probably 30.
25, right? Yeah, 25, 30 miles an hour. And he was a foot away from this lady. And this is the first run of the day, of course it is. And he made it out, right? They crossed paths, almost hit each other, but didn't. I'm like, wow. In my head, I was like, that was close. A second later, I seen Mikey take the biggest tumble I've ever seen a grown man take his side, yard sale, right? The skis go everywhere. The poles go everywhere. He did the splits, which I didn't know was possible for him. I'm like, oh.
It's not, by the way. It's not possible.
I'm like, no way. He's going to survive. He's fucking geriatric. He's a dead person. Sure enough, strained his shoulder. Look at, show him what this bruise or what this fall did to you.
Man, I think I hurt my arm a little bit.
Oh.
Nice.
He's dude. Like, he goes, here's my thing. As long as I have mobility, As long as I have mobility, I should be okay.
Wait, I'll ski the rest. I'll ski the rest of the day. I'll literally ski the rest of the day. Well, and if the snow is good.
Well, the rest of the day was
one more run.
Yeah,
we went back up. We're like, these conditions are awful. I go, and I cannot fall on this arm again because it's really starting to hurt. 4 minutes later, I did the exact same fall.
You fell again?
I ripped the same tendon. I mean, this whole area. I'm like, bro, this is, we gotta leave, man.
I separated myself from the group because I've gone snowboarding like 8 times, 9 times, and I was like confident. They dropped off. And by the way, the way they like when you're with a group of friends, the way they drop you off at the beginning stage is like they dropped you off at bitch land. They go, go bitches, go be new for the first time.
So David and Kevin got off because they're
and I was supposed to get off with them because I was like, I want to practice before I hit the ramp. But when I heard the condescending voice, I was like, nah, I'm going to stay here. Because my girl's amazing at this shit. My boys are amazing at this shit. I ain't going to bitch out. We're going up. A few minutes go by. We're still going up. And I'm like, there's no way this mountain's this high. We keep going. As soon as we land, I go, you know what, guys? Have fun. Take your time. Don't wait for me because I'm going to be slow, bro. I'm far away and I'm seeing these I was like, this is what happens when you try to go too fast, bro. You tumbled really hard.
Oh, you took a right off the rip.
Yeah. Fucking landed on my tailbone. Same thing. Like it is really hard. I don't know how about skiing, but it's really hard to snowboard on ice.
I mean, it's
like exponentially harder. I don't know if it gets that much harder.
It's the same thing. I mean, you're dealing with like slush and ice and crud. It's called crud. It was just some of the worst. I've skied in New Jersey and it was worse than New Jersey. That's a sign. It's worse than Mountain Creek in New Jersey. And I know Mountain Creek. And I know that's not often in Shod. No offense, Mr. Shod guy, Constance Colton, but it was horrible.
Nah, By the way, he was so stressed with us the whole time.
Because we're ruining his reputation. Dude, he's the Stad guy hanging out with fucking idiots.
He destroyed his reputation.
Me and Matt crushed it last night. We crushed it. We really crushed
I'm
it.
I'm glad you went to that dinner because, as you know, I was unable to make it.
Correct.
Because, again, riddled with bad luck this trip. And right at the end, you know, my weed withdrawals, it had been 6 days. I'm like, okay, I am starting to feel better. And it was New Year's Eve. This was yesterday. Today's January 1st, by the way. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Oh my gosh. Happy New Year 2022.
Happy New Year. The number one podcast audience in the world.
I didn't even say it this time. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world.
That's easily the latest ever.
It was day 7 of my withdrawals. And we went to go snowboarding in the morning, had a tiny little croissant at the restaurant and a latte. Ready to go on the mountain. Then about 4 p.m., I started to feel like kind of bad. I was like, guys, I think I have to throw up. We were out and I went to the bathroom of this hotel. I started throwing up and then the frequency and the regularity at which I was throwing up was increasing. And now I'm like, oh, something's wrong. Do I have COVID? Is this the weed withdrawals a week later? Like something affecting me? Because, you know, withdrawals, I'm sure you threw up when you were going. But a week later? Nah, it seemed improbable. Turns out I got fucking food poisoning yesterday. And this is where it's a little odd because I don't know from what. If someone in the comments knows anything about what could have happened.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I know what happened.
We have a theory.
We have a bunch of theories.
By the way, it seems like a pretty good theory. I'm sitting here last night. I'm here. And by the way, this man is not throwing up like, oh, I feel really good. What kind of disrespectful shit is that? I am podcasting.
Keep going, George.
Oh, to re-roll. Okay. Yeah, as you can see, this is quite the run and gun podcast. We bought these online. They somehow got delivered here to Switzerland overnight. I don't even know if they're working. Hopefully they are. The cameras we have to cut and re-roll.
Show them the lights.
Some God, $10 tripod.
The lights, my God.
Just lamps.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just fucking lamps.
But we're about to leave. Me and George are leaving in like an hour for the trek back to the States. Like this is a running gunner.
I like it though. I always find these ones the best.
They're fun. Yeah, but violently vomiting.
Yes. Oh, so like he's not throwing up like this. Like oh God, he like from far away, and then he's gassing himself up like a psychopath. There you go, boy. Get that shit out. I go, who's he talking to? Bell's like, he's been chanting himself the whole time. So then we're like, oh shit. So we check on him. Yo, bro, I'm so sorry. And honest to God, like we were all so sad because this dude dropped so much money to bring his friends, celebrate New Year's in the bathroom, yakking 30 times in a row. We're sitting out here watching fireworks go off. And he's sticking his head out the window while he's naked and sweating. Oh, fuck. And he like runs back and you just hear boo, boo, boo fireworks. And you're like, and Mike's fucking somewhere out and about. I'm like, God, this is such a vivid and perfect way to be
spelled. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Any other way.
He forced me to go.
2 minutes later, he comes out crying in his beautiful suit that he was gonna wear to the thing. And he goes, guys, I'm so emotional. Happy New Year's. I love all of you guys. I'm so happy to be alive. I go, this guy was drunk. 100% this guy was drunk.
No, bro. The fireworks were going off and I started getting really emotional. A, because, you know, this year's been so great. 2021's been so great. But yeah, all of it was overshadowed by my health. And I literally was happy to be alive. I thought I was gonna fucking die.
3 New Year's in a row, by the way.
Which is so weird.
So 2 years ago, we were in Tahoe. We all got an extreme case of the flu. Extreme. Thought we were going to die. Worse than COVID, by the way. Mm-hmm. Last year, he got COVID at the ranch, mm-hmm. when he was at the ranch. And this year, he got poisoned by the coat check guy at the Alpena Hotel.
Which is the theory. Because listen, all he had was a coffee as small as this. No bullshit. And
two croissants.
One. This big.
Babe, say croissant.
Croissant.
Like that. Croissant. Croissant. There's no
so yeah. So where does the food poisoning come from? And so I was like, damn. And they took a while to deliver that latte.
And the way they delivered it too, like say the camera's Logan. They're like, oh Mike, your drink, Logan. Do you want me to take your jacket? And he's like, no, okay.
You want me to check your coat?
Like, think about it. We have been the hooligans pissing off these high end people.
Hopping out of the trunk, bro.
I know.
Well, that wasn't as bad as the attempted fist fights on all of the...
First off, I'll never fight anyone. So yeah, food poisoning, sweating, whatever. I tried to put on my suit. There was one emergency ambulance in town at the hotel. I went up to them. You heard the conversation. I was like, hey guys, I'm gonna die. I'll say it again. I'm gonna die. I'm extremely dehydrated. I cannot keep anything down. Mikey made me some eggs that I tried to get in my system because, again, this was what was worrying me. Throwing up 40 plus times, I've never thrown up that much in my life. But, like, stuff was coming out, but I hadn't eaten anything all day.
It was like intestines.
I don't know what it was. Yeah. And it changed color. It went from green to yellow, and at the end of the night, it was dark brown. And that's when I called my mom. I said, what is that?
And my favorite thing about it is as soon as you call her, she automatically texts me. She goes, what are you going to do? I'm like, what do you mean, what am I going to do? What the fuck do you want me to do? So I made him eggs. I made him ham. I always give her these updates. But we were at the dinner, at this fine dinner. And all I could think of was, we're going to walk out of here with a group of these Stadion people. And Logan's going to be in the back of an ambulance with a suit on, going wah, wah, get with an IV in his fucking arm.
That was my plan. My plan was to suit up, and I don't know why I did this, but I walked to the hotel, and it's downhill then uphill, or uphill both ways, depending on how you look at it. And so that like physical nature of me walking to the ambulance, pleading for them to give me the IV and the suit, I was hoping I could get into the party and rally with my friends. They said no, otherwise you had to go to the hospital. Fuck that. And so I tried to go to the party and I couldn't.
You came into the party and the first thing you go to me, I'm like, yo, what's up, dude? I can't believe you made it. First of all, you're already sweating. You're completely pale. You're sweating tits at the party. You go, hey, man, do you know where the bathroom is here yet? I just want to know just in case. I was like, you should probably go home.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just go home now. It was the first question he asked in a $120 million home. He goes, yo, do you know where the bathroom is?
I was in there for 5 minutes. I tried to throw. I realized I couldn't do it. Walked uphill. I walked home in my suit without missing a stride because I didn't want to stop and be the guy on the side of the road in Stade throwing up in front of the most wealthiest people in the world without missing a stride. Let's go. And that's what I knew this was out of a movie.
When did you grow this, like, why do you talk yourself up?
So, okay.
Self-talk.
So.
But like, why?
As you know. Everyone knows I'm very dramatic. I like to whine, right? I'm also I'd like to consider myself tough. I can handle a lot of shit. So when I reach a point where like the whining is no longer, I whine because it makes me feel better, right? I'm like, oh, I'm sick. Oh. When I reach a point where that's no longer helping, like at the end of the day, bro, I'm a fucking fighter. Like, I just go man mode. Ah, let's go. And I try to psych myself out of being a pussy and throwing up. They say it's all mental. I'm here to tell you it's not. It's not. Sometimes it is extremely physical, and sometimes you can't help but throw up every 5 minutes.
It is a lot mental, though. It's the same reason I say, as long as I have mobility, you're the same way. If my legs can move, I'm gonna make it.
So my version of that is screaming at myself. Yeah, we're on the same way as before a football game, or any athlete knows this. It's like, let's fucking go. I'm trying to, like, it's the only thing that gets me in my body and feeling like I can do it.
Right, right.
So I just be psyching myself up.
The Stade was not the only part of this trip that was problematic, by the way. We had issues before we even took off from New Jersey.
What happened there?
We spent some time at the airport because we had to deboard the plane.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah. Oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah. You may have forgot about that probably because you why don't you tell him? There's a rule that you broke. There's a very important rule that Logan broke. You do not ever listen to this audience, ever take the sleeping pills for the long flight overnight until wheels are up, until wheels have left the ground. You may think your plane's about to take off. You may get settled into your seat with your blankie and your bag stowed above, but that does not mean the flight is actually taking off. And Logan learned that lesson the hard way.
I told you I have insomnia. I haven't been able to sleep. And, you know, so yeah, I downed 4 sleeping pills before wheels were up. Sure enough, 10 minutes later, the pilot comes on.
We're having a slight issue on today's United 135 to Zurich. And by the way, this excuse was
the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
We forgot to charge the battery on the plane, so we're gonna need everyone to deboard so we can plug it into the USB drill. Like, what the fuck?
I'm sorry, what did you just say, Captain?
Forgot to charge the battery.
Is that a thing? Do planes have batteries? And how can you forget to charge it on an international fucking flight to Zurich? Also, bro, I was a little tipsy. I was fucked up because, you know, it was what do you do at the airport? You get drunk. You don't.
You grab a drink and a croissant. Yeah, you don't have to drink.
Well, something happened where one drink led to because of empty stomach. Again, no appetite. Like, I'm getting tipsy fast now. So, yeah, I was a little tipsy. Sleeping pills, 2.5 hour delay.
Newark. Bro. And it was a wild scene. We get all this pizza. We get all these french fries. And we get back on the plane. And I had been taking videos of him in this stupor, this daze of just drunken sleeping pill stupidity. And so I had all these great videos, and they were fantastic. Little kids were approaching him, and he was saying the craziest stuff. Hey, she has a plant growing out of her head. Like, these videos were incredible. But I also decided at the end of it to bookmark bookend that story with a message that I sent to United Airlines. Because United,
this story,
well, hold on,
you're dumb for this.
Yes, well, clearly, and I'm going to get into it. United Airlines was sending me texts. Your flight has been delayed another 3 hours because we forgot to charge the battery, whatever. And I was responding with, suck my fucking dick, United, you piece of shit. Yeah. When I see you, it's on site. Like, yeah, that kind of shit. The kind of shit you would, it's on flight.
You know when they send you the automated messages? All of us just talk shit to the machine. I go, we go, you're fucking worthless.
I said your mom's a whore.
You suck mom. A dick.
Imagine there's actually people behind it. Like, what?
No one's even seeing it. So I write all these ridiculous responses to the robot. And then I'm like, you know what? This is all an equally good story for my Instagram story. So I screenshot the stories and I post them to my Instagram like a fucking moron. Not thinking that when someone has your confirmation number for your flight and your last name, they can edit and change your booking whenever the fuck they want. And oh, I didn't know this until 36,000 people had seen my story and screenshotted my confirmation number. So once I connect to Wi-Fi and we're in the air, I start getting emails from United. We have changed your seat for your flight back from Zurich to 67B, middle row, and added a wheelchair per your request. As also, please enjoy the vegan option that you've selected. I'm like, bro, I fucked up.
The vegan option, that's where he draws the line. Vegan.
So they had moved me into the worst seats on the plane. So there is no solve for this. So I immediately start messaging. Now, as you guys are watching this, we're in the middle of the Omicron bash. Airlines, Expedia is all demolished. You can't talk to anyone. You can't fix any problem. So I can't fix this. It is a freight train headed for disaster. So I've got a bunch of different kind of fans. I've got fans that love me just like you guys do. And we've all got those motherfucking haters. And those motherfucking haters had a field day. Until a sweet, sweet, sweet young man from Chicago DM'd me and said, hey, I see that you're having some trouble with your flight. I also signed into your account. Go for it, man. Like, at this point, sure, sign in. I've also signed into your account, and I've taken the pleasure of spending the $3,000 to upgrade your flight to first class for your return flight.
That's crazy.
You have changed my life with your book and your story, and I know you've done it for thousands of other people. I've upgraded you, and I think you should enjoy a first class flight home. I almost cried. It was honestly one of the nicest things that anyone he's never met me before. Has ever done for me. I messaged him back. I said,
I know I make jokes, but like, damn, what did you do to this dude's life? What did you do to this dude's life?
You don't know. You don't think about it, and none of us do, but I say this repeatedly, bro, the ripple effect of some of the stuff we do, it affects people so drastically and positively. We'll probably never get to fully understand it, but like, obviously, whatever he did to this kid inspired him to be willing to pay money for a guy he's never met before.
Couldn't believe it. Messaged him. I said, well, next time I'm in Chicago, lunch on me. We're going out. We're spending time together. Whatever.
Lunch.
So I go.
Should have bought your fucking first class ticket. Lunch on you. We're going to do a burger review at whatever the fuck. Wendy's or
Wally's.
Something. Not me, though. Don't worry about it. Don't even bring your wallet. But I am coming there on the 3rd if you want to upgrade to first class.
So now I'm happy, Mike. Wow, I just got upgraded to a lay flat. I'm going to have a great flight home, right? Well, by the time I get to Shad,
it's canceled.
The flight's canceled. One of the other fans has now signed in, and it wasn't enough to just put me in 64K anymore. They wanted me to stay in Shad forever. So they started canceling the flight. So now every day I'd wake up and I'd rebook. And every time I rebooked, they'd say, unfortunately, there's been a fare change since the last time you booked. You're now in 64K anyways. The flight now is like $8,000 to go home. And I'm like, yeah, but it's your fucking fault because people are able to sign into my account. Unfortunately, we know that's true, but it doesn't matter. You're in 64 fucking K, dude. Have fun, motherfucker. So every single day I've woken up on this trip and spent hours on the phone with United to get a flight back because every day someone went and canceled my flight. Fuck you. Fuck you, you stupid motherfucker. I know where you are, too. I have your number because you fucking texted me, and I'm going to find you.
And dude, you know what I love about life? It's not a little kid. It's 18,
100%.
Gang-banging, thug-looking, like tatted all over. They're like, oh, we'll see you. We'll see you for sure. You fly that is change your seats. Oh, fuck.
Added wheelchairs.
That was the best part.
Huh? You guys got kicked off a train after that, didn't you?
We didn't get kicked off a train. The train got canceled. As I say, every leg of this trip from start to finish has been a fucking train wreck. Yeah. The only thing is this isn't so bad. I'm having some fun right now.
On this podcast, absolutely.
Tail end of the trip.
I hate to say this. I enjoyed every moment of this trip. You know why? I had no expectations for it.
Smart.
I had zero expectations for it. I already knew I was the poorest one walking in. So I was like, what can I do here? And I was humbled. I was like, oh, this is like a great way. But also, wait, hold on. And on a serious note, I was telling Bell this. We need to get classier. Like the way they live life, I felt like I was repulsive to be having a conversation with.
What do you mean?
Like I felt like our behavior, our mannerisms, our structure that we grew up with, I lost it. Growing up as an Assyrian boy, I had the same tendencies that these people have. Like the nice dining table, the upper scale conversation.
I don't disagree. It is a little tough, but depending on your upbringing, that guy right there has taught me so much about class. Even just the way you're sitting right now. We had a little thing the other day. We were sitting around a table and like typically I'd like to consider myself classy if I want to be. And I've learned from him. He serves everyone before he eats himself. He stands up when a woman arrives at the table, the whole nine. And I take a lot of pages from your book. That's Stad guy over there. We were sitting around a group of people and I sit like this if I cross my legs. And my soul was facing someone like it is now. Mm-hmm. And he whispers to me, he goes, don't put your soul. Is facing that person, don't do it. And then what you're doing right now evidently is the proper way where it's like a little halfway thing. My issue with this, I don't know, my dick's all squished and shit.
So there's a way of doing it. How I do it, I go like this, I tuck. I got to do one
thing. Hey, before you go, I got to defend us. I agree with your sentiment. We are wildly wild guys. We didn't do terrible. I think Mac would be proud of us and how we conduct ourselves on this trip. I spent time with him last night at the dinner. And by the way, I'll whisper to you sometimes and say, watch what Mac does right here, because I was classically trained. I choose not to observe that type of lifestyle. As J. Cole says, nowadays I'm bummy by choice because I'm comfortable. I like to feel comfortable. I like to be around people that make me feel comfortable. I can get there if I have to.
I agree, but I prefer to sit on that mindset. I swear I was. Until I came here and I was like, wow, really taking the time to show like an extra step of mannerism.
Sure.
And receiving that, it just goes a long way.
It's really not that I mean, you can study it you could read one book on it and have all the stuff down. I mean, you stand up when a woman gets to the table, you don't sit down until she sits. Like there's a bunch of different
It's the practice of it. And because man, believe it or not, Greg Paul didn't 100% raise me that way. Also, though, I will say, Greg Paul is actually he actually has good manners, which it's the like absurdly good manners, the like ultra high end class that I
imagine GT at that restaurant though.
This group wasn't like that either though.
Yeah, I mean
this group last night wasn't like absurdly like that. They're pretty casual.
I think that like the more intimate things that we were a part of, that was like, damn, that's crazy. It kind of felt like a movie, dude. I felt like I was in a movie. Like I truly did.
It's so funny, bro. I'm noticing that I literally have to like learn how to be social again, because I've been so used to conversing on weed while high that I like give a fuck, and like now I don't pretty much. And so like I'm literally like I think I'm awkward.
No. Bell whispered to me, she's like, I think Logan checked out. We turned around. Well,
because me and him talked about it the other day. The weed for him, the biggest thing that it did for him was it exponentially increases curiosity towards things that generally are undeserving of curiosity. I mean, he and to his benefit, he became very good at making people feel very, very heard, no matter how normal they're. He became the best listener ever.
Yeah.
Because he was genuinely curious because everything was so new and interesting under that psychoactive umbrella. You know, and now he's like.
And plus for the project that we were doing, man, who knows what a sentence can do to like inspire some shit.
Right.
My inspiration comes from living, as probably most artists are. Like I get inspired by what I create, by what I see, read, hear, and the more I'm seeing, reading, and hearing, which weed helps me with, the better my creation is.
You're gonna get there. You just gotta practice.
I noticed one thing here. People. Not that they don't like to be entertained, their entertainment choices are different. For example, there's only one movie theater here playing two movies on one time. So, there's only one show.
The Thinning?
The Thinning. The Thinning 1 and 2.
Just imagine. That'd be so funny. Logan, we know you're here.
Okay. New Year's. What else? Do you have anything else on Stad or any of that stuff?
Nah, I think we covered it.
Okay.
I feel like there's so much that we're missing. The ice thing. Oh, okay.
The what?
The 3 digits.
Yeah, so that's one. There's a... I mean, should I do this? This is huge.
Yeah.
This is huge. But when is this pod drop?
The day that KSI Massive. And I announced that we have no longer become rivals and we are business partners in Prime.
I'm sorry.
You took
what?
This time to...
I thought there was a third fight.
So... I mean, who knows? Maybe one day. I think it'd be a great story. But yeah, man, after we went to the UK, Georgie, believe it or not, KSI and I have a lot more in common than we have differences.
Go away. I need you to cut back to when Hayden was on the podcast and he said that.
He did say that. And so I realized, and I think he realized too, I was like, oh, I fuck with this kid. And we're actually like a lot alike. And we saw I saw a niche in the market that kind of wasn't getting hit involving hydration beverages. And when I was training for the Floyd fight, I was approached by a lot of beverage companies. And I realized a lot of them kind of marketed to athletes and there wasn't one that fit and could fuel any lifestyle. And so I connected with the right people. We came up with this idea and I brought this idea to JJ and I was like, hey man, like, I understand we've literally beaten the shit out of each other twice, but I believe we have a really big opportunity here to provide a really, really great product to the world and like show people what can happen when rivals come together as business partners. So went over to the UK, did a shoot, the whole nine. And yeah, fucking JJ and I are launching Prime Hydration, a beverage Let's company go. That we hope will rival some of the biggest brands in the world. As a digital influencer, someone who is often like the underdog, I constantly feel like I'm proving,
yeah, of course.
Proving. And we're going head to head with PepsiCo and Body Armor and Gatorade and Powerade. Because if I do say so myself, we have created the best tasting drink on the market that is actually better for you, that actually hydrates you. This stuff got me through camp. For the Floyd fight, Prime got me through camp because I like coconut water, as you guys know, but too much of it is not so good for you. There's 10% coconut water in here. There's 850 milligrams of electrolytes, 250 milligrams of BCAAs, and they would send me the samples because we went for a year now back and forth on flavors, pitching retailers, getting the products to the shelves, and the samples didn't last 2 days in my house. And
yeah, I never got to taste it until like this weekend.
Yeah, most people. Well, I mean, bro, they run out quick. At my house this Christmas, they sent me 3 cases, and they were all gone in like 2 days. The whole family just demolished them.
What
so
if you all do a little test of like a little sip?
I was just gonna ask you, do they help if you can't stop projectile vomiting? Did you drink them this morning at all?
I have to be honest with you.
Oh, you couldn't keep anything down.
I wish I had.
I was about to say
this is not a plug. I wish I had some of this. While I was sick, there was water in all of these. Yeah, yeah. I drank all of them the first day.
Yeah.
So I had nothing. I literally had to. Also, there's 5 flavors. We're missing grape, but we have orange, blue raspberry, tropical punch, and lemon lime. They're going it, bro. This is actually a fucking. This is nuts, bro. Walmart, Kroger, Target, CVS, nuts. GNC, nuts. Vitamin Shoppe, 3 million bottles off the rip. I don't know. I'm speechless. Like this could be one of the biggest things I do. It's going to be a staple of everything I do in my life. And like I said, whether you know, you're a nurse or a kid who's heavy on academics and you're taking a test or an athlete, whatever, like this drink is going to fuel you, replenish you and get you through your day. And I think it's fucking awesome that JJ was on board to do this endeavor with me. And we'll see what happens, man. This could be my 50-cent vitamin water. It could be my, what was Kobe's drink?
I feel like this is gonna be bigger. I don't know why.
I think Kobe had a drink. But you see a lot of these entrepreneurs.
Mark Wahlberg does this a lot. He had that water bottle that I really like.
Yeah, there's just a point where
this is what you do. But I'm surprised you're doing all this before you're in 30, bro. You've come so much. Loki, do you ever worry, like, you're like, oh, shit, I've done everything, and then you're going to look back on life and be like, I don't know, what now?
He's going to move to Stott.
I'm already there, bro.
He's going to move to Stott.
Then I'm going to move to Stott.
Do you think that, so, obviously, you guys had the last Impulsive episode with KSI. Do you think that we'll be getting another, potentially get another episode with him?
I think that's the next episode, actually.
No fucking shot.
Man's is coming to LA. We're doing a bunch of content for Prime, and he will be on the podcast next
week.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
And I like it because the first podcast that it was just me, you, and him felt like a catch-up.
Like a sit-down.
Yeah, like we, it was like we leveled it. And now it's going to be a different vibe with you there in LA, just talking about whatever. He's single now.
Take him out.
What happened with that?
I don't know. You can ask him about it. But damn. Man, it's just sick. I'm very proud of what we've created, and I hope you guys enjoy it as much as we do. And if you don't, let us know. Let us know that you fucking ate it.
Hey, congrats, by the way, bro. I know you've taken this very serious, put a lot of time into, and it's awesome to watch, man.
Thank you.
It's awesome to watch.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
Best of luck to both you guys.
You know what Gary Vee said to me? When I was in New York for NYC NFT, he said, you're in such an interesting position right now, because I think that you're Marky Mark before he became Mark Wahlberg. He goes, I think you're the Fresh Prince before he became Will Smith. And as I become a little bit more strategic with what I do, and I use the learnings from everything I've done to sink my teeth into shit I love, I think 2022 is going to be a big year for me.
Yeah, I do. I really do feel like 2022 is going to be really good. Not just for you, just but honestly, I don't know. I felt in there.
I think the whole world's optimistic that we can, like,
we can get ourselves. No. The world's like, where the fuck are we going to go from here?
Yeah,
where
are we going?
Like, if we're already down here, how far? Oh man,
can I
don't speak too soon?
Hard cut.
Don't speak too soon.
Can I ask you guys a question on that topic quickly?
On
2022.
Oh god, I got you.
Do you guys do resolutions?
Sort of. Nah, we kind of, no.
I don't really
do it. I mean, some people are not doing them this year. I think I do, like, personally, I like to do, like, a macro statement to myself. 2020 was a big growth year for me. Mm. Put the book out, did all that stuff. 2021, I just grinded. The whole year, it's all I did. I focused on making money. It was the only thing I cared about. And to my benefit and detriment, drove myself into the ground, traveling, making content. There wasn't a week I took off. It was just content. And 2022, like, I personally want to focus on my personal health. Like, I want to get healthy. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to be on the road every single day of the year next year. Like, I want to get healthy again.
Mm.
You know, so that's like my macro goal, is to just, like, I want to try some things, some holistic things that I generally haven't put time and effort into, whether it be like meditation, whether it be eating better, whether it be,
can
whatever.
You imagine Mike meditating? Something about that just, it's a picture in my head. I can't see.
Mike Posner said
he's the most
it.
Composed person.
Him?
Under stress, yeah.
Oh, under stress.
Under stress,
yeah.
I've never seen anything like it.
Like, that's why I like to lead. That's why I always like to lead. You guys know I never want
to. As much as I like to roast and have fun, I can't take that. I'm blown away at how he deals with the stress. Like, it really is impressive. Yeah, right? It is pretty cool. This year was the greatest year of my life because I finally felt like I found who I am. And I know it sounds like really
same.
Weird.
I can see you sinking into your actual say. It's
I
noticeable.
I do with a podcast. I know it sounds really cheesy to say because I'm on a podcast. It's and you guys said this to me on the first debrief. When cameras are on, you stop being yourself. Like, it's weird. Like, you like become this thing where you want people to like you, which is, like, very foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of the podcast, because every word I say has been held on. Somebody will hold me accountable to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things I changed, the way I could, like, talk. And when I walk into rooms now, I just kind of, like, I'm like, let's get to the point. What do I need to do? And how do I do it at the best capability?
Mm-hmm.
So when I put that into my life and I was like, okay, what am I on this earth for? What do I really like to do? Forget the money and fame. Like, what do I want to attack? And the podcast spun me into stand-up. I cannot believe it's taking me my whole life to realize that this is what I need to do. Like, I love grabbing the mic and making people laugh, like in small rooms. Put me in front of 1,000 people or 5,000 people, having a whole room laugh, and I could just feel people's tensions leaving their shoulders. They're here, they're laughing, no one's stressed. Like, and I was like, wow, this is what I really want to do.
Mm.
And the movie came out. I got invited on this beautiful podcast. I went from just
producing skits online to like actually having a purpose with my skill set. And it's changed my life. So yeah. I appreciate you guys having me.
Bro, you crush it. I mean, it's pretty clear that the audience loves you. We love you. And it's like you and also just to the stand up point really quickly, it's admirable to see how much time you practice. Like he's practicing constantly.
He practices in real life.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And I've been telling him because obviously like my energy's hella low. I like laughing sometimes when you're forcing yourself to laugh is hard. And so I told him, I said, George, this trip, no free pity laughs. I ain't pity laughing. Like normally he makes a joke. I want to support my boy in a room. Maybe he doesn't hit. You and I will be like, I don't have the energy to do that.
So now he's got to step his game up.
This week. And you've been doing great.
You witnessed me hit the reverse card for the first time.
Dude, your Uno reverse cards are insane.
So I'm being kind of sculpted or like mentored by Joe Coy, my first person I invited on the podcast. And he sat me down and he goes, I want you to start aiming to like kind of like not fuck yourself up, but like how are you going to get yourself out of like a situation? So now they'll see me like if I have a new group around me, I'll kill a joke. As soon as it's high, fold, walk away. Have them wanting more. But he saw me walk up to a group of like these guys could have been billionaires or whatever they were. And I walked up and I said, just like a really funny joke because they all looked like me. I said, why does it look like I belong on this table? And all of them just drop their thing and they look at me and they go, tell us why.
This is when I left.
And I saw Logan's energy from over here. He wasn't looking. He just goes and just walks around. And I literally was, and I said it as I'm walking too. It wasn't like I stood there to talk. And I was like, all right, this is where I stick around until I win. And so I stood there and I looked at him and I go, because they all have a beard with my hairstyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brown as fuck.
Yeah, you weren't wrong.
They look like my relatives.
But right off the rip, again, this is not the place where you just like say shit like that to people. Random people.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I was like, I don't want any fucking part of this, dude. And then?
I hit the fucking river. So it was the one guy who tried to make a joke out of me. So I was like, as soon as I learned this, I was like, all right, so I have to kind of come at this dude. So I'm like, I'm going to come at this dude. I was like, well, buddy, it's not our eyelashes. And then he did this. He did one of these, like it kind of got him. And then his boy kind of like, he's like, what the fuck? That was so left field. Then I was like, okay, left field jokes work. And I kept hitting the most ridiculous thing until they started laughing. I was like, fuck you guys. And I left. And on the way back, they were like this to me. And Logan's like, how the fuck did that happen?
I thought surely it was going to end, you were going to end bombing.
He warmed them up. Airports, problematic. COVID, United Airlines. There's one story I haven't touched on because we haven't had a podcast. I went globally viral for a video that I took at an airport after Jake Paul's fight.
Yes. Oh, wow. I actually saw that again.
Globally viral. I was on every single news station, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, every local station, every Dutch, German station in the world. Leave Jake Paul's fight. We go to Miami. Right? We're in Miami. You're still there.
Yeah.
I decide I'm going to go home. I'm going to go back up to New York. So I go to Miami International Airport. I'm assuming some of the people in the audience saw this. I go to Miami International Airport. This is the worst airport in America. It is a shithole. They do not clean the bathrooms. You go in the bathroom and there are pubes everywhere. There's piss. It's like people piss on the mirrors in front of this. There's piss everywhere. It's disgusting.
I can't move away from the pubes, bro. Because when I see that shit, I'm like,
bro,
fuck.
It's fucking disgusting. You know when you walk up to a urinal and there's a puddle of piss on the floor? And you can't even stand because it's everywhere. So I go to this airport and I'm like, I hate fucking being here. I love Miami, but I hate being at this fucking airport. So me and David are about to board this plane back to New York. And we see what appears to be some level of civil unrest outside the plane gate meant to go to Santo Domingo.
Yeah, Santo
Domingo, right? There is a man who is standing on one of those golf carts that drives the old people through the airport. Beep, beep, beep. That drives past you. He's standing there and he's giving what equates to some sort of civil unrest speech. He's speaking in Spanish. I'm not even going to try, but he's yelling.
Yeah.
And there is 150 people around him who are applauding him. Yeah! Yeah! Screaming fists in the air, right? So our gate is all the way down the terminal. You think I'm going to my gate? No, well, that's happening.
Hell no.
Fuck no, dude. The plane's about to. I don't give a shit. I'll miss my flight. So we're standing here watching this guy go nuts. I take a couple pictures with some kids that are waiting for other flights, whatever. But I'm continuing to monitor the situation, and I even start to video him a little bit vertical for Instagram story. Always for Instagram story. Great form.
Of course.
So I'm videoing it. I'm like, but you know, nothing's really happening. This guy could just be having a bad day, which he was. I found out later. Well, as I'm watching this man give, you know, this speech to his people, a couple cops roll up. And I'm not talking like JFK, like tactical cops. I'm talking like some kind of rent-a kind of cops, dude. Like they probably shouldn't even have been at the airport. So they roll up. The guy's still standing there screaming. And all of a sudden, it happens. It happens. That moment, that spark plug goes off and it ignites. A fire ignites, and I wasn't able to see what originally happened at first, but when my eyes picked it up, and in the same motion that my phone came out to start recording, this man was in a death hold from the cop, and he was getting choked out, and everyone around was screaming, "Mama, you motherfucker!" surrounding the one cop. And I'm sitting there, and I noticed immediately the rest of the people that I'm in competition with do not have the same visual angle that I do. So I'm going to have the best video of this event. And I was excited. I was like, I'm going to get a good shot here. Because also they were all kind of like older people that probably had Androids. They weren't going to get a good shot. So it was me. It was all me. Okay. So I'm recording and I'm like 20 feet away. I'm getting close. And like, even David's looking at me like, yo, I'm getting close. I'm getting in the fucking action. I want to be right over this shit. So three or four other Santo Domingo passengers now jump in and they're wailing on the cop. They're punching the cop in the head. They're throwing kicks. The cop's getting overwhelmed. Another cop jumps in. They start wailing on him.
Oh no.
So the one cop backs up and he's backing up. And now I'm as far as I am from David. He's right there. I mean, I'm right there. Right. And he backs up and four or five of them. And they're doing that move where they go, come on, come on. Like that, as they're going up to him, like ready to pounce on him. And I see his hand, and I go, here we go. No, he ain't going for the taser. Pulls out, and I'm like, so now I'm like, okay, so this is when you have to make a decision in these situations. Is it worth the content? Is it worth the I am very close to a man who is feeling quite leisurely with his handgun. Even just pulling it out in this situation was stressful.
He was hella disheveled too at this point. His walkie had fallen out of his car, shirt ripped.
Cord everywhere, shirt ripped off. I don't want to get into justification versus not. I don't want to get into any of that shit. All I'm going to say is there was a lot of people in line of fire. There was kids in line of fire. I'm not, once again, not saying you should have put whatever, right? Pulls out. Now I stay right where I am. And I'm like, I'm getting this fucking video. I'm getting this fucking video. And I'm like, oh shit. I'm giving like little like audio, like what I'm seeing.
I thought you said don't shoot.
No, that, I said, I was when, just
I,
like, oh,
when
shit.
I was watching the video, bro, my heart dropped here.
Bro, it was, dude,
cops nowadays, when this comes out, who God fucking knows what they're gonna do, man.
This is
the action that takes a life. This simple.
Correct.
And every cop's different.
Correct. And it, you know, like.
And if you're going to put somebody in a headlock in front of people, you might be crazy enough to like pop.
Well, hold on. This story has a lot of moving pieces.
While I was concerned also, because I think the reason all of it started was because the cop like assaulted the guy. The guy like grabbed his arm, excuse me. Correct. And the cop turned around and like pushed him or punched him or some shit.
So,
like he's an aggressive cop is what I'm saying. Yeah. So when he drew the gun, I was like, yo.
Yeah, I support all those statements. I do understand the idea of cops, you pulling out their service weapon to push back a crowd when they feel threatened.
Sure.
So, I'll get into that. So anyway, so I take this video. I get some really good captions for my Instagram stories about pubes and piss on the floors, which I add in just for fun. And I throw that story up and this thing goes crazy. So I'm like, okay, it started to gain traction. So I'm like, now I'm going to add a news report to it. So I selfied a 7 p.m. Miami-Dade news report as well, where I talked about the conditions at the airport, but also this flight home to Santo Domingo because this man wanted to go home and finish his Christmas shopping. I made a whole backstory up about this guy. This shit went uber viral. Every fucking news station in the world, I get messages from Fox News, CNN. Mike, please, we need this footage. So
did you license it?
No.
Why
so,
not?
Because I was lazy. I'll explain it to you. So I just started saying yes. I said, just please credit my work. That's all I said.
Please credit my
work. Please credit my work.
Like, so, like he's some sort of fucking journalist.
Yes. I felt like it for
because,
a second.
Because by the way, if I had done that shit, canceled. For sure.
What, for filming it?
Yeah, I'm even surprised you kept doing it. I mean, to be honest with you, like.
Oh no, I was beat reporter on the street, dude. I was reporting you're
not,
on the story.
But you're not.
No, hold on a second. Everyone who saw that report said, you have a career in this. That was an incredible report. I even said back to Maria in the studio. I took that shit very seriously.
Was there a Maria in the studio?
No, I don't know who the fuck Maria is.
What if one of the news stations had it? They ran
dog,
with it.
Dog.
They're like, thank you, Mike. Anyways,
they did. They fucking, no, no, not in that way, but they really all ran the video and everything. So the people for licensing hit me up later. It was too late. I'd already granted access to everyone. But the final note on it is yes, the cop came over, asked this man, yo, please relinquish the keys to this golf cart that you've commandeered for your civil unrest speech. Their flight was delayed for like a day, for like 24 hours.
Oh.
And they weren't giving him any reason. And so he was standing there rallying the people like, we will not give up. We will survive. We will take down this airport. Like that kind of shit. But I don't probably not that aggressive. But like, you know, hang on. We'll make it through this type of shit.
Yeah.
The cop comes up and goes, I need you to give me the keys to the thing. The guy wanted to talk to the cop.
Are you just telling the story again?
No, I was going to tell what really happened,
well, it's been
50
minutes. So for some reason, man, people thrive off negativity.
Absolutely.
Like positive stuff, like that ain't going to make the news. We want to see the fucked up shit. Humans are
yeah, fucked up.
Dark people. The world's dark. And y'all may have seen, I you were there. I made a Game Boy table out of resin, Game Boy Colors. I spent about 3 months on this little art project, as you know, during quarantine and COVID and training for Mayweather. I had some free time. I just wanted to do something relaxing. I took up art resin, epoxy. So cool. You see the videos on Instagram. They pour the resin through the table and it looks all nice. So I was like, I'm going to try this. And so I got into it. I made a couple little projects. I started to get a little better and better and better. And I decided to undergo a Game Boy project, where I took Game Boy Colors, which I love. I love Game Boy Colors. I've been addicted to them my whole life. I regularly, every 2 to 3 years, I stick a new Pokemon red, yellow, or green in the Game Boy Color. I get my favorite Pokemons. All six is usually the same ones every time, maybe with some variations. And then I beat the Elite Four a couple times, and I call it a day and my addiction stops. So the point is, I'm fucking obsessed with this thing. And so I thought it'd be cool to make a table with some of my favorite things that I had in it for a resin project. A lot of people liked it on Twitter. I posted the video, got 142,000 favorites. And a lot of people were like, man, like, you know, Logan Paul fucking blows. But like, I have to be honest, this is cool. But then I started trending. And as I just outlined, you don't trend for good shit, typically. You trend for bad shit. And sure enough, there was a subset of retro gamers that were extremely unhappy that I caked 15 Game Boys that, by the way, cost me probably about $1,000 in resin because they felt like I was wasting the Game Boys and disrespecting like the nostalgia. Like I saw some tweets that were like, I've been trying to get a Game Boy Color for years. And this guy just put 15 of them in a table and you know, like there's responses that, like, yo, go on eBay right now. There's $60. 90 plus million of them were made. It's not like these are in short supply. And I love them. Like these mean something to me. And I love Pokemon and everything. And so this uproar started to happen. And this one tweet in particular caught a lot of traction. Like, again, 100,000 favorites, anti Logan's epoxy table. At Super Toasty Mutt. on Twitter. Maybe this is too deep, but encasing a Game Boy in resin is such an on-the-nose visual analogy for how the rich's only desire is ownership for ownership's sake. Literally taking something meant to be played and enjoyed and making it unusable so it can be put on display. I'm sorry, what? 100,000 favorites on that tweet.
When you first...
Like, low-key, like...
No, fuck that guy.
Fuck that motherfucker.
No, I'm sorry.
I probably can't do that. I've been caught, huh?
No, it didn't get caught. You're fucked. Damn. I hope you enjoyed being on the podcast.
All right, guys, it was fun.
No, 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 that's your interpretation.
No, 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 no. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Hey, how do you have a Gilmore card and I don't have a color, and you put it in a table. Get out of the table. I want to pivot. Like fuck you, bro. Literally, fuck
if he has,
you.
If he
how
had,
are you that? And he has underneath his fucking comment with his big GoFundMe. What are we funding?
Shut up.
For yeah, what? So when a lot of people on Twitter, when they go viral, they'll do a thread, and the last one is always like, by the way, go buy my work. By the way, go do this thing.
It was like a fund me. You didn't have any work to provide.
If you had that, if he had that response that you just had, can you show it one more time just to remind people?
Which one?
The one, do the eyes again.
Hey, yes, yes, okay. I don't like that.
If he had had that response, I wouldn't have been mad. I wouldn't have been mad. It is when they say, this style of artwork is analogous with the current culture of rich, obsessed, white, privileged, wealth, class overance, and their ability to diminish the quality of the... Shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
Shut your stupid, fucking, crying, bitch ass up. Shut up!
He said, this might be too deep. Listen, tiny dick. Nothing about you is too deep. Okay? Nothing about you is too deep. If you actually got bothered from somebody else's art and took the fucking time to tweet about it, and then when you got some bit of, like, recognition from them, to post a fucking GoFundMe, go fuck yourself. How about that? You want to fund something? Fund this dick. Go fuck yourself. I'm fucking so mad. Motherfucking...
Yo, you're telling me. You're telling me. Georgie. I had so much fun making this thing. I made something I thought was fucking cool. And yet, how can I still be making mistakes?
Because this is a game, boy!
That a boy.
He said, I wanted one of those. He turned them into a table.
Bro, they were pissed. And so a lot of the sentiment on Twitter took what you just said, where they're like, let's be honest. This is a simulation for sure, because this is the most ridiculous backlash we've seen in our lives. And so I drafted some tweets, as I outlined earlier. I've been feeling a little aggressive, and a lot of them were along the lines you just said, like, hey, bro, like, you fucking suck. You sound like a joy to be around. What the fuck kind of timeline are we in? Just a bunch of bullshit I didn't feel comfortable tweeting. A, because I now, when I get backlash on Twitter, try to empathize. I try to understand. And I actually feel for this person, because I can't imagine being so unhappy with God knows what, life, yourself,
something,
that you feel like you need to tear down someone else's art for God knows what. And so
I've been trying to get these people.
You like, turned them into a table.
Bro, like...
Turn him into a table.
So I followed the kid on Twitter, and I DM'd him. I said, "What up, G?" He said, "Hello." I was like, "Okay, he's one of those." And he's an artist himself too. He makes comics. I actually thought they were pretty cool. And I said, "Seen your work. Just wanted to wish you best of luck on your creative endeavors." He replied, "Thanks." So I tried to kill him with kindness. And one thing I outlined that I'm going to try to exercise in 2022 is kindness. Mm-hmm. I even texted Gary Vee. I'll tell you what I texted Gary Vee.
As you search for that, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I know we're wrapping up with this. I know. Is it?
I said, how can I be kind about this, Gary? Like, fuck this pussy. But he's right.
And then Gary's like, "This is what you need to do. You need to go to his house and then kill him."
Don't you make fun of fucking Gary?
But well, wait,
I'll what? Kill you.
Well, wait,
you. Wait, how did you go from kill him to kindness to just kill him? What happened?
No, because I'm working on it.
No, but Gary said it's called empathy.
It's the empathy is true. Mike, truly, you see someone.
Do I understand empathy? You know me.
No, but he's saying you see someone spend so much time on a project, and for some reason you feel the need to like invalidate it because some weird niche belief you have, not knowing any of my intentions when I'm making this. You think I stuck them in there so I could be like, I own those 15 games. These cost $1,000.
No, so that's what I'm asking you. Why? There's okay.
No, I want one.
Listen to me.
You go to play with those. Shut up.
Correct.
But also...
No, also. There's listen to me. I'm dead serious about this. There's empathy for deserved causes, bro. And then there's just fucking annoying bratty ass bitch. I'm not gonna sit there and listen to this shit. You have to draw. No, you have to draw the fucking line somewhere.
I agree, but Mike, there's a large group of people on Twitter who agreed with him.
Okay, so clearly we're all fucking hating pussies. Listen to me.
Twitter's not a real life.
George,
that's the end of the day.
Not real life.
Not real life.
Yo, if a motherfucker tomorrow tells you that they identify as the floor, and you walk on the floor and they tweet at you and it gets 100,000 likes because the floor is offended because you walked on it.
Yeah.
Are you going to empathize? Are you going to fucking empathize? Answer me.
Well, it depends what level it's at.
No.
Floor.
It's over. Draw the fucking line, people. Draw the line. When they get 100,000 likes, say, I don't care if it's 1,000,000 fucking likes. I'm drawing the fucking line. And that line is dependent on where you as a human, a mature human, decide for it to be. I'm sorry. That's fucking stupid.
Mike, I agree, but how much energy am I going to put into
zero. Like, no response. Yeah. What you did is too much.
You followed him and looked at his work and then DM'd him.
Because
he looks like there's a lot of work. Are you trying to fuck him? What's going on here?
No, he's young and he has talent. And I believe for whatever fucking reason, he's got some like weird, like, I'll call it like a victim poison in his mind. And like maybe the kid can turn his life around and like stop tearing other people down and actually become a good artist that spreads artistry in a positive way.
I like that. I like
that. Was
like
my theory.
I like kind, positive, uplifting messages to people that you think are but empathy or you know what? Now that I think back about this, maybe this was a little fucked up to Donkey Kong and the Princess. And I apologize for having done this to the game. But what? What? I apologize to Super Mario Brothers. Who are you apologizing to?
Yeah,
you turned the game into a table.
You know why? Because it's cool to complain.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
yes.
cool
That's
to complain.
What I'm fucking saying,
when you see
bro.
That one guy go, you know what? You know what? I don't agree with it. I do not agree with it. And then there's other people like, you know what? Me too. I don't really agree with it either. And then another guy coming out of the closet. He didn't even talk. He just yells. And then like, we don't know what the fuck he says, but we understand that we don't like that either. Fuck you guys. You get back in the fucking hole, you guys ever came.
Honestly,
get back in the fucking hole.
I'm not gonna be mean.
No, but I think the lesson too, because we didn't even get to cover a very important topic on this show, and we unfortunately don't have time.
Yeah, we gotta get
but it's something we've been talking about for weeks that involves prostitutes.
Escorts.
I don't want to beat around the bush, but this is a major topic.
Do y'all have to go?
Yeah, we really do.
Right now?
By the way, this is very hard to be a Christian.
No, we will listen, we will hit.
Can we pause this
for a second? No.
Why don't you drive to Zurich in 4 hours and have dinner with us and finish the podcast?
I can't. We got so much depending on this. Driving's fine and we can postpone a few minutes, but it's... We can't. We have to do COVID tests at the airport. It's a whole thing. I promise you, I would have done it.
I want to talk
about the Hoolies.
Well, if also,
dude, we have
also
so much stuff.
My last note on it.
Five minutes? You got five?
Yes.
I don't want to talk about this too much.
Keep all that in, by the way. Fuck it.
That's good.
The only issue I have with it is this is not an hour, 20-minute part of the show. This would have been first or second topic.
I mean, that's point of impulse.
Got it.
You never know when the good shit's coming.
Run it.
How do you start? How do you start with this?
Talk.
Do you want me to line it up
for
you?
Can you?
Okay. I'm not gonna do justice. Lately, Logan has taken a bit of a for people watching the show that understand who Captain Save-A-Ho is, Logan has taken a little bit of a hardline stance on the idea of girls throwing away their morality for fast clout, fast access to parties by way of men who wouldn't be the normal men that they would talk to just for that access or that money or that clout.
So there was a girl
that's well put.
I had hung out with in her name is
there's no shot. There's no shot. No. I had a heart attack.
She actually told me after the gig was up for her, she goes, and last request, please don't talk about me in your podcast. I go, right. You lied to me through and through. I'm going to do whatever the fuck
well,
I want.
Well, that name got did get bleeped.
Yeah, of course.
You should bleep.
So,
yo, that was hilarious.
That was funny.
So there is apparently a world, and it's dark, where women are paid via retainers to continually go and hook up with, hang out with men, usually older, usually wealthier, on a regular basis. I knew about this world, and unfortunately, if you've watched Mike's vlogs, David got trapped in this world where he ended up dating a girl who had in the past been paid to like
still
fucks for money. And by the way, I don't mind that hustle. I don't mind that lifestyle. The issue was with this particular girl who I actually like had good conversation with, spent some time with, whatever. And I had an inkling of, and I did not an inkling. I kind of knew what she was, but I didn't know. And she was able to convince me that she was this fucking angel. And I believed her through and fucking through. Lied to my face repeatedly on a level I've never seen before. I thought I knew this type of girl because I live in LA, right? And like you can kind of see, I'm 26 now. I can smell when one of these fucking hooly doolies or semis, as we call them, because they're like half prostitutes, half escorts, or like a little bit of both sometimes, exists. And I thought she was it, but she never confirmed it. So I started to believe her. And my boys were like, no, bro, like one in particular who
check my invoices.
No, one in particular who had also ended up dating a hooly dooly for 6 months. You just don't know the type of girl that you're with or her past, and chances are if she is in that world, she's gonna fucking lie to your face. And I got lied to. I felt fucking stupid. Like,
you were
just
very hurt. You were very hurt by
stupid
it.
Stupid as fuck, yeah. Bro. Because again, I don't like I don't mind the lifestyle. Just, bro, I was deceived and lied to, and I thought I had a good read on women and people and what they're actually about, and her intentions were such in the wrong place. And for like a month, I was just waiting. I was like, I need to know, like how satisfying. We know OJ killed his wife, but how satisfying would it be before he died? He's like, yeah, I did it.
Right.
Like final closure. Right. So yeah. I ended up,
Ted Bundy.
I ended up cutting her off regardless. Because I had an inkling, and then sure enough on this particular trip, we found out this girl she's a mistress on retainer for an older married man in his 50s, flies out regularly, and also is on retainer with a couple other guys, weekend trips here and there, and her rate isn't even that high.
It's pretty affordable, actually.
Three digits.
Yeah, I was
3 digits. Can't believe it.
No, come on.
That's what they were saying. It's worse than we thought, and I bet it's even worse than this.
She's like a higher 4 digit. She seems like a 4 digit.
Man, who knows? But like truthfully, I feel dumb as fuck. And no wonder she didn't want me to talk about her on the podcast. But this is material, and like I don't know why these women do this. I mean, I guess it's for money, but there's like an extreme sacrifice of morality that needs to take place for you to fuck older men for money. And so I'm here to ask you, what's worse? Girl who does OnlyFans, a girl who fucks for money, because one of them is hustling privately to make her money, and one of them is sacrificing morality publicly.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say one is worse than the other and put a score on it. The one thing, and I think me and you are aligned on this, is the one thing that's tough is when you lie to someone and you're not transparent about it to someone who you could potentially have a future with.
Yeah.
And so like we always talk about this, honesty is the most important thing. Honesty is everything. If you're honest with a potential partner about whatever, it generally leads to a positive outcome.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like I've never seen lies end well. And it's just a tricky part of life. I don't think it was ever as much that part of it. It's just the lying.
I want to get her on this podcast, or like maybe we blur her face or some shit,
bro.
But dude, this lifestyle. Is
okay,
fun.
So
or a hooly dooly.
So the
how does it work?
Retired. Yes.
How does it work?
Yes, we'll do it. We'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it.
How does this work? Are the rates presented right away?
And we've talked about this before. We talked about it with the Ibiza trip. We talked about it with the Ibiza trip on this show. We talked all about it. And so, no, the majority of women are not like that. The heavy majority of women are not flying around on fucking G5s to St. Bart to celebrate with fucking names I'm not going to mention on this show.
Wow,
today.
We can believe
it. Nah, it's okay. All right. God, for love.
Can I speak on this?
You can. Unfortunately, we have to get on the train.
I'll make it quick.
Good.
I truly think that at the end of the day, if she lied to you, and I'm not backing her up, but if she lied to you, there might be...
You could back her up for 3 figures.
There might be situations that, like, we don't know about. And this is why I don't like to come too hard on. That sounded terrible.
Thank you so much for watching today.
I don't want to come too hard down on men or women that use this type of lifestyle. And I don't mean to bring up again the Bible to be annoying. I truly tend to tell people to read the gospel because God didn't set these rules for him for you to be like, he's not a king. He's like, you guys all worship me. It's truly a way of life. And if you would have read scriptures to kind of show you that this type of lifestyle, it comes with a price you have to pay. Hmm. And you might be getting that money, but you're going to pay in a different avenue. You might be losing a family that you might want to invest in one day. You might ruin a chance with a man that doesn't want to get involved with situations like that. There's women out there that need to get out of their situation. And so that's why I'm like, okay, I don't want to talk too bad about them. And mind you, there's different situations. But sometimes when you're in a tough spot, and sometimes when men come up to you and they give you opportunity like that, sometimes when opportunity knocks, you can't afford to not answer. And so I don't want to.
But
I don't
she's also
shit
not.
Shit on all
I don't
of them.
Think she was one of those kind of.
But I want to look at the lens when I say this. If you are a female or a male and you're in a tight spot and you want to do that, please, I promise you, I know like that money right now seems amazing, but I promise you, I swear on everything that I love, on my life, on my relationship, on my friend's life, you will come down to a point in your life and you're like, man, I wish they take all the money away from me.
That's true.
I wish they take all the money away from me.
That is 100%.
And they give me my life back.
Yo, but what if you don't even get money and all you do is get access to Nikki Beach?
That is well worth it. At the end of the day, guys, kill them with kindness. And if that doesn't work, kill them.
Thank you for watching Impossible, the number one podcast in the world. We love you guys. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. We will see you next week. Episode with KSI Prime coming to retailers near you. It's been great. I love you guys. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.